You're listening to TJ Talks. This podcast probably is going to contain a lot of explicit language, so you're forewarned. Welcome to TJ Talks. I am Judd.
And I'm Teresa.
All right. Are you ready for this?
I'm always ready for this. I am born ready, ready to roll, lubed up, and ready to go.
Show number 101.
I know. I'm very excited. And we briefly discussed maybe changing the format or doing something different. And then we both kind of went, meh, we'll just keep going the way it is.
Right.
Because we didn't want to put any more production time or production value into the show. So we're just going to leave it the way it is.
Absolutely. But you never
know. The format is unformatted. How's that?
It is. So if we ever decide to throw in another commercial from one of our very famous sponsors out there or something, you just never know.
You never know what we might come up with.
You never know. So, yeah.
And but what are we going to talk about today on today's unformatted show?
Yeah, we're going to have some Oscar talk House of Cards, which is back for season 3.
So excited.
I think 13 episodes.
Yay.
Yeah, and Spock is dead.
Oh, okay.
And then we're going to mess with the dress. We're going to talk about that controversy.
That whole thing made me hate the internet for a day, but we need to talk about it anyway because it was a thing.
And then we have a mystery topic that we're going to leave till the end. So you got to hang out
for that. Yeah, I saw something unusual on the freeway, and I just want your opinion about it. And maybe I always go to the bad place first when I can't figure something out, but I don't know. So we'll talk about it when we get there. All right, let's start.
All right. Well, anyways, we're going to Oscar talk first thing. So did you see the Oscars at all? Any of it?
I did. I watched a lot of it. I was really sick in bed last week with a cold, mm-hmm. So I was NyQuil infused when I watched it, so I can't necessarily say I could remember word for word. I love me some Neil Patrick Harris. I think he's fabulous. Every joke sort of fell a little flat for me, and if he can't save a show and the energy level and all that, I don't know who can. I mean, he's extremely talented.
Well, I don't understand what was so bad about the beginning of the show. I thought he did a really good job.
It was that beginning that they always have. The yeah. Montage and the jokes and the let's make fun of Oprah and the where's yeah. Jack Nicklaus or whatever it is. They always pick on those stars in the front row. And it is, that's the way it always is.
So why are people complaining that it sucked?
Well, I think that's the new thing to do. I think that's the new way to discuss anything is to talk about how much it sucked. And maybe that makes for good conversation or radio or e-network news, but it's not necessarily a true assessment of the show. I mean, the whole thing didn't suck.
I mean, do you have to have, like, a Golden Globes moment with Ricky Gervais's in order to have a good show?
Well, is it a show, award show, or is it a roast? Because I think they at the Golden Globes, I think you can do more roasty things because there's alcohol, it's a dinner, it's, you know, a little bit different format. It includes all genres of film and television. The right. Academy Awards, the Oscars, are very staid. They are very proper. It is very set in its own, almost its own cage, right?
Right.
And it's not a roast. It's not supposed to be funny. It's supposed to be a celebration of art and performances, et cetera, and production. So it's fine to have that, but you can't go back and forth between, you know, show me your boobs or whatever it was that Seth MacFarlane did, which I loved, by the way, because I love Seth MacFarlane, but then making it a roast about we're the brightest or the whitest performers of all time, you know, I don't know which way they want to go with it. They kind of need to pick one or the other.
But see, I felt like his song and dance deal was definitely on the level of a Billy Crystal.
Absolutely. It was very pure Hollywood, very pro-Hollywood. I think it was fine.
I think that the people who are dogging it in their industry, I don't know, I call them outsiders, really. The haters are like, well, you know what? STFU, well, motherfuckers.
In the great words of the famous American poet Taylor Swift, haters gonna hate, right? Like, that's just what's gonna happen.
I think she might have trademarked that. You better watch out.
She should if she hasn't. No, I only have a couple of categories. I did realize this year. There's only a handful of categories that I care about. Uh-huh. I don't care about best audio engineering, best, you know, effects, whatever. I don't even give a shit too much about the makeup and costumes. it really is only about the things that I, best song, best picture, screenplay, director, those kind of money shots, you know, for the big categories. Yes, I like those ones. And I know that they have their, you know, ceremony before the ceremony, and they have some B-lister host that and give the, you know, best, the best boy or whatever it is, some of those things
are. They get a hot girl to go and give out the science awards. We know how they do it.
Yeah, right?
Hey, geeky people, we're throwing you a hot chick for the night.
Yeah, here's Charlize Theron. Come drink a bottle of wine and get your award. And that's fine. I just think, personally, I like less technical awards. I like more showy awards. That's me because I'm shallow that way. It's important all the production people deserve to get their kudos. I'm not saying they shouldn't get an award. Those are just the things that don't stand out to me on the show. The musical numbers are always a little stilted. I don't know. And this was a fun post I saw on Facebook. A friend said, you know, what's his name? Tim McGraw was on there doing that song from the Glen Campbell documentary.
Oh.
And he wore his tuxedo and his cowboy hat. So do you think that was couth or uncouth to wear a cowboy hat and a tuxedo?
I think that was Tim McGraw, so I don't think it matters for
him. Thank you. That is the right answer for once, Judd.
That's how I feel about it. I mean, it's Tim McGraw, so he's okay. I mean, anybody else, you know, if Neil Patrick Harris did it, okay. I think he's better off in his white tidy whities there.
Exactly. But the Tim McGraw persona is a cowboy hat wearing guy. So I wasn't offended by his cowboy hat either. I thought it was fine. Right. And frankly, I don't think he has a lot of hair under that cowboy hat. I think that's why he wears it all the time. And he looks better with it on. So I'm just fine with that. That's not a problem for me.
Yeah. So.
And I really wanted the song from Begin Again to win. Have you seen that movie with Mark Ruffalo and Keira Knightley?
No.
It didn't win. It's a cute song. The whole movie is filled with great music. You made a good point about this last year when we talked about Oscar music, that if it's a song played at the closing credits of a film, is that really the song from the film, or it's a song that's stuck at the end of the film, right? It's not integral to the movie. And that's what I mean, the Selma song is a song at the end of the movie, right, in the credits?
Yeah.
So is that part of the movie? I don't know.
I think that's just giving somebody an, hey, let's get a song. I do.
Right?
I like Everything Is Awesome is integral to the movie.
Correct.
It moves the Lego movie along. I've seen
it.
So I
think they should have two categories. They should have a credit song or a song about the movie versus song in the movie category. I think they could broaden that.
Well, yeah. Just because it showed up at the credits doesn't make it.
Yeah, I mean, U2 has been nominated for an Academy Award based on that. And I just think,
they didn't win, at least.
They didn't win.
No, they lost to Frozen, right?
I believe
that was
so.
The year. Who won this year?
It was the Selma song with John Legend and Common. It's a beautiful song.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not a bad song. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it had nothing to do with the action in the movie. It's played towards the end. So
Okay.
It's a great song. John Legend's awesome.
Okay, I want to talk real quick about the Oscar Best Picture because I saw Birdman, which won Best Picture. This is the biggest bunch of bullshit I have ever seen. You know, okay, it was an okay movie. I mean, I spent $5 on iTunes so I could watch it in the comfort of my own living room.
Okay.
You know, because it's available on iTunes Rent. And I was like, this is the best picture, and I have seen The Imitation Game, which was also nominated, and definitely better picture, better story, just head and shoulders away, a better picture.
So why do they always give it to movies about movies? Like
the industry votes for itself. I identify with that. So I'm voting for what I identify with, not necessarily what the best picture is. It's like, imagine if you were a Toastmaster and you got your judging form and you said, fuck this judging form, crumpled it up and said, I'm voting for my friend.
Because
that's how I feel that they did.
Well, I think this whole movement of the, you know, the Academy is racist. I don't know that it's racist, but it is certainly made up of predominantly white people. But the fact that more black films or any other race or ethnic Creed films weren't nominated is the problem is that those movies weren't made. So that's where the problem is. It's not the Academy.
Come on. Tyler Perry puts out, what, 5,000 movies a year?
So does Adam Sandler, and Adam Sandler's movies shouldn't get nominated. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. So totally are so, there.
Long story short, that whole I'm just tired of that argument about, oh, well, they're so racist. Well, first of all, they are you, Academy. It's not – we don't get to vote on it. And if we did, there might be a Tyler Perry movie nominated, God forbid. But I only say that because I don't love his movies. But I don't know.
You know, right. Well, he's had some movies that were, I thought did get some critical acclaim, didn't he? There was a couple.
Oh, he's certainly a prodigious producer, right? I don't begrudge him any of his Hollywood chops. I'm just saying that – And he's the first name that came to mind. It could be Spike Lee. It could be any director or anyone who makes a movie that way. But I don't know. Can we have this conversation that the Academy is manned by a woman, a black woman for that matter. She's the president of the Academy. Mm-hmm. So where does this argument really come again? Like, I understand that it's not super diverse, but there still is representation. I don't know. I just think it's a lot of browbeating and harumphing over nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But yep. Most things are, right?
Well, you know, they make movies for audiences.
Right.
And who's their audience? I mean, who are they making their movie for? Who does the story really, connect to? I think that's why we do see a lot of superhero stories and alien stories and all this kind of stuff is because it kind of transcends gender and race and religion and all these things because people identify, you know, fantasy so much easier than they do reality stories. But then,
yeah,
you know, the reality stories have their audience.
Right. Interesting. I don't know. We'll have to keep talking about this as we see more movies during the year. And maybe this year we should try to be better about seeing them and trying to – we should have a contest to see what's going to get nominated as we see them throughout the year.
Well, you know, you got to wait until October because nothing gets nominated for the most part.
Generally not, but there are some movies that could or should. I mean, occasionally during the year you get something released at Sundance in January that you know is going to get out there. So, but yeah. Yeah, it was an interesting show. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. Like I said, I was on NyQuil, so
okay. It
was all right.
All right. So, anyways, talking about, you know, Kevin Spacey was at the last year's Oscars, and he was in that big selfie picture with
Ellen. Selfie.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I was thinking about that, and that kind of is my transition to
your bridge.
My bridge to his show, which just was released in season 3 on Netflix, House of Cards.
I love it. I love him. Robin Wright is amazing. You know what? I love the theme song from that. Usually on a show like that, I will zip through the credits or whatever just to get to the meat of it. I love that theme song. It's just foreboding but powerful.
It's only like 30 seconds. I mean, they don't drag it out for like a 2-minute deal.
Oh no, yeah, but it's powerful music, and the images of Washington and all the goings on are just great.
A big TV at your house, so if you sit like maybe 10 feet from the screen, you feel like you're at the movies.
Oh, it's amazing. I love it. I had to go back and watch like the last two from last year or last season just to make sure I was remembering all the details, which I'm glad I did because it helped me a lot in the first show.
I probably should still do that.
It's a complicated show. I think, I could stand a rewatch from the very beginning and pick up some stuff.
No doubt. So, not that to have any spoilers, but
how many episodes are you in?
I'm into 5 episodes,
and it just came out on Friday.
Yeah.
All right. I'm only in 1, so maybe 2 by the end of tonight.
I'm a binge watching bitch.
It's so easy to do on a lazy Sunday afternoon. Just turn that on and escape. It's amazing.
I know. I've got 2 TVs, and on one TV, it's built in. I've got Netflix built in. It's a smart TV. So
right.
I was like,
makes it too easy.
It's too easy. You just hit the button and it just automatically goes from one episode to the next. It just progresses.
Yes, right, you don't ever have to get up or move or touch or redo anything. It's great. Did you know that Baz Luhrmann is going to be doing a musical show for Netflix, like a produced? No. Yeah, so that'll be a fun series just for them again. Everything they've done so far, I can't think of anything that hasn't been a success. So
I've liked Orange is the New Black.
Yep, because that'll be out after this, right? Yeah. That's in May or June or something.
I'm hoping that they have a third season with that. There should.
Well, she's got to get out of jail at some point, right?
Well, you would think, because in real life, she's out of jail.
In fact, she was out of jail, in and out of jail, faster than the whole show's been on. I mean, she only had 18 months to serve, so...
Yeah, well, that's true. It's a fictional story. This is not actually her real life story.
No, I get it. But what I'm saying, it's like the MASH, the Korean War, did not go on for 11 years. But there were 11 seasons of MASH, and they had 11 Christmases and 11 Thanksgivings and blah, blah, blah. So
my claim to fame with Orange is the New Black is that the real Piper Kermit actually did tweet at me, reply to a tweet. So
how did you get that?
I follow her on Twitter, and I tweeted to her.
Nice. All right. I love those replies. That's sweet.
Especially when it's, that's that brush with celebrity. If you're on Twitter, you can totally have brushes with celebrities, and I have it all the time. I had Lisa Loeb favorited one of my tweets the other day.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and I'm totally, hot for Lisa Loeb, so that works for me. Like, who am I not hot for, right?
I like Lisa Loeb. She's one of my go-to karaoke songs.
Oh, well, there you go.
See, I like that. So, well, good for you.
it's been kind of really cool.
Now, did you get into Mad Men?
No.
Oh, get into Mad Men before season 7 starts.
Oh, season 7. I'm trying to get into Better Call Saul.
Oh, it's very good. I've seen
I've watched a couple as well. So I really need to get on there because I'm going to be like now 3 episodes behind, and that won't be good, especially with what I've got going on in my life. Can we take a detour right here, right now?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So a little detour. I'm starting next week a master's program. And I'm scared. It's all online, so I have to really be dedicated. I have to go on at least once a week and participate in online forums and turn in assignments and do all sorts of stuff. So I have this book. This is my first class. You can see how thick this book is.
Oh my God, a textbook. When was the last time you had a textbook?
I know, I've not. And the title of this textbook is Managerial Communication, Strategies and Applications.
Sounds easy for you, piece of cake, distinguished Toastmaster.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking this should be a piece of cake because it's business comm.
How many hours does each class require? Is there a time that you have to log in or?
Yes, you have to have participatory time. But it doesn't, you can't just like go to the website, log in, and then log out. That doesn't count. You have to log in and actually do something. And that's what participatory time is. It could be 15 minutes or whatever it takes to get engaged enough. And then your instructor will give you a present, essentially.
Okay.
But I have no idea. I've never taken an online class, so this is my first time.
You won't be watching online lectures. You're reading the material, getting any information online, but you're not tuning into a classroom.
Not that I'm aware of, but they may have some online videos to watch or something. I don't know. Yeah.
Now, are you one of these people that can be online doing a focused activity and not veer away from it or open up another window and look at Facebook or do whatever? Like, are you really ready for this level of concentration?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm scared.
I would be scared too. I know, when I turn on the computer, I'm tempted to get one of those blockers so that I can't do social media distractive websites or whatever when I'm supposed to be working I make it sound like it's a really dramatic problem. It's not, but it's just how much time a day am I really spending doing that? And it's probably a chunk when you add all up those minutes of, I'll take 2 minutes to look at this or 4 minutes to do that. I don't know.
It didn't used to be that way. It used to be when you would take 2 minutes to look, it was really 2 minutes. Now it's like sucks you in.
It does, because there's something you want to see, and you click again, and it's difficult for me. I need to stay focused. In fact, there is a website called Focus. It's triple FOCUS, and it puts a little clock up on your screen for 25 minutes or however long you can set it, I think, for however long. And that's supposed to be sort of your visual reminder that this is a 25-minute segment of unadulterated work time. For
that's
you,
a great
it could be
idea.
Class time, it could be whatever, where you're on sort of a do not disturb mode in every regard, and you're just going to spend 25 minutes. Because, you know, I think like any human being, you can do that for 25 minutes. Then you need a little bit of a break or move your head around or do something. But you might want to look at that.
I think that's a great idea. I wonder if there's an app.
I think it is an app, but you can go to Google and put it into, and it'll bring it up on your screen. So, yeah, it's that Pomodoro technique. Didn't we talk about that? The 20 minutes at a time. So, yeah. Well, good luck. I'm so excited for you. In a perfect world, all the stars align, all the planets align, everything is great. When are you done with a master's in business administration?
Probably 2.5 years, 2 to 2.5 years.
Two and a half. Okay.
It's 30 credits. But it's all based – the only reason it will take 2.5 years is because of reimbursement issues with my company.
Okay.
So
all right.
That – you know, I can only take classes until the money runs out. Once the money runs out, I'm done. So.
Well, congratulations. Good luck. Thanks. Bon voyage. You know, education is a journey, not a destination, all that bullshit. But, yeah, it's super exciting.
Just give me my master's degree so I can apply for those jobs.
When you're done, do you get to walk down with a cap and gown? Or?
I do. If I want to, I can fly up to Albany, New York, where the college is actually located. And your degrees, I think, are signed by the governor, or I don't know what it is.
Oh, we must do this. That sounds fun.
Yeah, I know.
Cool? Do the whole thing online, but go get your diploma in person. I love it.
Well, yeah, and then go cruise into New York City and have a party.
Sounds like a good time to me.
Right.
I love it. Well, good for you.
So shall we move on to the next thing?
Yeah. So quit watching House of Cards and get studying.
I know. That's why I got to finish it all tonight.
Feet to the fire in 15, remember?
I know. Right.
Good for you.
So Spock is dead. Damn it. Jim.
I know.
Leonard Nimoy passed away.
Go ahead.
He died of COPD.
Yeah.
Yes. Which basically is from smoking.
Ah.
Right? He smoked for a long, long time.
Well, lung damage, yes.
Yeah. Quit 30 years ago, but it didn't help him recover enough. But, hell, he lived to be 83 years old.
He was 83. Smoking is not what fucking killed him. It didn't help him live, that's for sure. But that's not what killed him. He was 83.
So he would have lived older than Shatner.
He could have. I mean, until he got sick, though, I'd never heard of him being ill, had you?
No.
Yeah, so.
Surprise.
So
he knew he was going to die, obviously. His last tweet was that way.
Oh, what was his last tweet? Do you remember?
Basically something about how you can't hold perfect moments, but you can just, you know, hold perfect memories or something.
Oh,
I forgot
boy.
Exactly what he said. Something like that.
All the talkings about him is that he was such a nice person, very kind, and enjoyed his Spock persona, never really tired of it, and never really resented it. You know how some characters get that way?
Not true.
Oh, not true. Okay.
Not true. So he wrote a book. He wrote a book called I Am Not Spock.
Oh.
In 1976. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, shows you what I know. All right.
Yeah, he would totally, you know, he liked it, but then it took him a while to embrace it and really come to terms with the fact of how globally important that character that he created actually was.
Right.
I think. I mean, then he came out with a book afterwards back 10, 15 years ago, I Am Spock.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that was his follow-up autobiography.
I am not Spock. I am Spock.
Yes, yeah. I think ultimately, I think he died with his boots on and embraced what, you know, that character transcended to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there was
a lot. But he struggled with it before. Yeah,
he did, you know.
I guess that makes sense.
So, I mean, you know, and then, of course, the internet is just askew with you can't go left or right without something about Leonard Nimoy.
It's very touching, all the personal tributes to him. People really are adoring of that character, of that series, of that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, you know, one of the things he did, which was really cool, is there's an episode of The Outer Limits, and it's black and white, and mm-hmm. he played a lawyer. No, was it a lawyer? Or no, it was a newspaper man. And it was based on the Isaac Asimov story, I, Robot, where a scientist creates a robot, and the robot kills him. And the robot is put on trial for murder. And Leonard Nimoy plays the reporter who covers the trial.
Okay.
And then Outer Limits went through a thing, and they redid all the Outer Limits episodes with the same exact scripts, just done in, like, the 90s or 2000s. And Leonard Nimoy played the scientist, and his son played the reporter.
The reporter? Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you get a chance, if it's on Netflix or one of those things, check it out, because it's kind of cool.
Sweet.
So anyways, Leonard Nimoy, yay. Well, not yay. Celebrate his life. Don't mourn it. That's
my personal tribute to Leonard Nimoy is that if it weren't for him, I wouldn't know about Bigfoot or UFOs, because when he hosted In Search Of, that was my... Like, it was on Saturday nights, and you would watch it and get terrified about all of those things that he would point out as being supernatural or bizarre or whatever.
It's all true. Every bit of it. So, to give him the super salute that he should get, Nanu, Nanu.
Exactly.
And don't tell me Robin Williams didn't steal that shit from, you know, it's the same thing, but it's just this, right?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
It's just different. Same thing. All right. So other internet controversy, the Nimoy thing was not controversial, but the other thing that you couldn't escape this last week was the dress.
Right. I'm going to let you talk all about this because I'm so over it.
Okay. So you ladies out there, mostly I think it started with ladies, and I don't really know how or why this even came up. But someone posted this dress on the internet, and the question was the color of the dress. Now, about 75% of the people who see the dress see it white and gold, with gold trim. And the other, like, 25% see it with black trim and blue fabric.
Right.
And they claim that it's because people who have more cones in their eyes, and there's some other things. And particularly the other thing is visual cues that they claim is what makes you see or not see the true color. And they claim that the true color, that if you actually had the dress in your possession, you would see a blue and black dress. That's what they claim. And I say, bullshit on the photo. and let me tell you why. Because I took the photo today from Wired.com that posted it, and they said, okay, here is the adjusted photo, here is the original photo, and here is the white balanced version that lets you see the true color of the dress. So what I did was I said, well, they claim this is a big visual cue thing. So I got rid of their two adjusted photos, and I covered all of it in black. So the only thing that you could see is the dress with black to see what color. That I figured that if that was the case, I should see a darker dress, at least something close.
Okay.
Didn't see shit. Looked exactly the same. So... And I changed the background colors to everything. I changed it to red, changed it to blue, orange, green, to see if that would help. Not a thing. My eyes still saw the exact same white and gold dress.
Huh.
So then, let's see. So then after that, I said, okay, you know what I'm going to do? I took on my computer, and for those of you who use on desktop computers things like Photoshop, you can take this little eyedropper tool, and you can... bring it over pixels and see the actual color of pixels. And then I had a little swatch that brought up like a huge box with the pixels and their color.
Mm-hmm.
Those colors were fucking white and gold.
So it's a bogus photo.
I think what happened is that when it was done, they removed a lot of the stuff that was in the original photo when it's been redone over and over again. Uh-huh. So that the current photos that are floating around there truly are gold, white and gold. That when you go pull real color on it, it's white and gold. So a lot of people are seeing white and gold because that's what it is. They're not seeing the original photo. Because okay. I think if I could get a hold of the original photo, I might be able to do this. Because I was watching a show today about how we're tricked about color based upon visual cues. Where shadows are and brightness and things like that. And so I was like, well, maybe that's the story with this dress. Well, until I get my hands on the original photo, I will never know.
Your jury is still out, huh?
My jury's still out.
So what about those of us that saw it both ways?
Then you saw the original photo.
I saw what?
Then you saw the original photo.
Okay, so I was looking at something, clicked on it, was reading the article. Mm-hmm. Saw the picture was at the top of the article, and it was white and gold. Mm-hmm. And then I scrolled back up, and then it looked blue and black. And I'm like, did they change the picture? So then I kept it on there, and it didn't ever change. So how do you explain that?
I don't know.
Was it just high? Maybe that's it.
I get high. Well, maybe reading the article, and then they put a subliminal message in your head. So then you started thinking that, well, let me try to see this as blue and black, and then
that wouldn't surprise me. I'm highly susceptible to that, I'm sure.
Well, but if you are able to pick up on that, yeah. meaning that your perception allows you to see it, because think about it, I mean, most people couldn't see it anyways,
right,
even if they're told they can't see it. So the fact that you can see it is like a big deal.
That's a big deal.
I could not see it. So
interesting. I don't know. Okay.
Maybe I'm just, you know, and I don't know other than that. It's the other part of the story is the passion. I mean, I've seen people with all caps letters. It's white and gold. It's blue and black.
The ire of it all. Like I said, it made me hate the internet for a day, and then add the Spock death to it. And I'm like, I'm never going on social media again for the next 48 hours. So, yeah, it was quite the day.
I should send out tech. You can all come back. The internet's safe now. They're no longer talking about it.
Yes, that is a good idea. So speaking of colors, can we segue into my weird mystery topic?
Yep. This is a perfect time.
So I have this topic, and Judd and I now share an Evernote folder to post topic ideas into. And if you go into the Evernote folder, Judd, it's in there. But I tried to voice talk the topic, and so it's all jacked up. So I was afraid you were going to look at that before the show today and go, what the fuck was she talking about? But here's what I was doing. I was driving on the 10 freeway, headed towards Los Angeles, and I'm behind a Toyota Camry. And new model Toyota Camry. It's white. The license plate's California plate, but the license plate frame says this: white is right. And I thought, what? Like, is it some overtly racial statement? Is it just because their car is white? Like, if that wasn't your intention to be racist by putting that on there, you certainly checked the box off as being racist. Like, I don't know how you make that statement on your license plate frame and not have a problem with it. What do you think?
White is right?
Correct. That was it.
It was on the license plate frame?
Frame. It was not a vanity plate. It was a regular California plate. The car was white. So what is that all about? I want to make a citizen's arrest and pull that person over and go, what are you thinking? Like, what is the message you're trying to get us to receive here?
I'm totally thinking that's what you think it is.
It's got to be, right? I mean, it just seems, but like, who would do that? I understand there's white supremacists in the world. I'm not naive. I'm just thinking that is a way to invite the most crazy kind of comment or reaction.
Are you trying to say it's like Bruce Willis standing in the middle of Harlem with a sandwich board that says, you know, I hate, you know, black people?
Did Bruce Willis do that?
In a movie, in a Die Hard movie.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It was just a weird statement. And it just made me think in general, I have a license plate frame, you know, happiness is driving my Honda or I don't know, whatever. It's some bullshit thing. It's not even a real thing. I don't get that whole advertising on your car kind of anything. I have a few stickers. I'm not saying I don't have anything, but vanity plates and weird frames that, you know, just don't make sense to me. Mm-hmm. Are you a vanity plate /
I got nothing.
License plate frame
I
guy?
I want my car to be pristine. Although I do have a submarine sticker. I've done that before. Put a pair of submarine dolphins on the back of my car.
And all right.
I really don't really like to do that either because I just want to be flying under the radar. You know, when you put something on your car like that, and especially if it's a standard kind of car and everybody has one of those, but then you put that sticker on, you know what? Everybody knows who the fuck's car it is.
Yes, I agree. There's very much a moniker there that you tagged yourself. I was appalled by it, but not, I mean, what are you going to do? And it's one of those things where you have to just, if I had seen that car parked in a parking lot, I might have left a note on the window just saying, what are you trying to say here? You know, just curious, what's your angle? Because if it's not to be a white supremacist asshole, you've certainly accomplished that without even trying.
Wow.
So that was it. That was my little thing. And I figured you'd have the same kind of take on it. But I thought, am I missing something about this? White is right on a white Toyota Camry. So very strange.
You know, you got a Camry. So what's up with that? You know?
Who knows?
That's a foreign car. Hold on. White is right license plate frame.
Oh, I didn't think to Google it. You're right. Maybe it's a movement.
Yeah. Let's see here.
It might be some sort of white Camry club, you know, but I don't get it. I don't think that was the brightest move to make. And anytime you have white is right or white power or whatever, it just seems like it would be a little off-putting to a large majority of the population, white people included.
I got to put it in quotes because
Google doesn't like it, right? I don't think it's a thing. I don't think it's some sort of code for anything. I think it's just bad behavior on that Camry owner's part.
I don't know.
Huh.
I don't know. It'd be interesting to find out.
If I see them on the freeway again, I will pull them over and ask them.
Yeah, totally.
Well, should we wrap it up so you can start studying?
I don't want to study.
Yep, time to hit the books. Did you at least buy yourself some new notebooks and pens and fun things like that, or no?
I don't know when I'm going to ever use that sort of thing.
It's all online, right?
It's all online. I mean, I don't know. What I'd like to do, if they come out with a new iPad mini, is sell the one I have and buy whatever the latest one is with the max memory. That would be awesome.
Super helpful for this, probably.
But I'm totally cashing in a whole bunch of savings bonds, and I'm going to write them off for my school.
Oh, fun. Okay.
I'm thinking, if I have any left. I think I have a few left.
All right. Well, while you do that, we'll sign it off here.
All right. So, I guess we should talk about what we talked about, right?
Tell them what we told them.
Tell them what we told them in good Toastmastery fashion. Well, we had some Oscar talk, so there's some good movies and some not so good movies. So let us know what you think. House of Cards, binge watch it. Let us know what you think. And Leonard Nimoy, live long and prosper, all that jazz. And I was totally a fan back in high school. So all you other people, you're just, you know, late to the party. I was a geek way back when.
Right, when it counted.
Yeah, now all the geeks come out. It's crazy. And say no to the dress. We're done with the dress.
Say no to the dress.
Right. And the and a license plate. So we'll have to find out. Maybe if you see that again, get a picture. And
I tried, and then I was driving and picturing, and I just thought this is bad news. So
there'll be some shaming on the internet if we ever get that. If you're listening out in California somewhere, Southern California, and you see this license plate frame, take a picture and tweet it somewhere or something. All right. Well, for TJ Talks, I am Judd,
and I'm Teresa.
And we will chat with you later.
Talk at you later. Those kind of money shots, you know, for the big categories.